Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I want to welcome everyone to our series that we've been doing here at Qalam, Character from the Quran, where we explore a noble, dignified character as described to us and as presented to us within the Quran, within the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specifically, today's reminder also serves the purpose of today's video, and today's reflection also serves the purpose of the fact that it is Yawm al-Jumu'ah, it is the day of Friday, and it's the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, which makes it a very, very blessed Friday. And so, as we've also been trying to, during this lockdown situation, have reminders for the day of Friday to, inshallah, keep that Jumu'ah spirit alive. So, alhamdulillah, today's video on the character from the Quran also serves that purpose of being a Jumu'ah reminder. Before I jump into the actual reminder, I wanted to once again just remind everyone of our responsibility towards our community, towards our brothers and sisters, towards the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there are millions of people around this world who are struggling, who are suffering, and this whole situation, tragedies only made it more difficult for them. So please go to helpinghand.org, go to Helping Hand for Relief and Development, hhrd.org. Helping Hand is, they are our partners in so much of the good, mashallah, that both organizations are able to do. We really admire the work that they do, and so we've partnered with them for the programming in the month of Ramadan. So if you go to hhrd.org, you can, inshallah, contribute there. So getting to the actual reminder that we're going to be talking about today. And today's topic is gentleness. Now, what does that exactly mean? What does it mean? What do I mean when I say gentleness? So allow me to elaborate and allow me to explain for a moment. I'll start by telling you two stories. The first story is that in the third year of Hijrah, so this is about 16 years, almost 16 years after the Prophet ﷺ received divine revelation, after his mission began. 13 years in Mecca, preaching and teaching the message of Islam. And now it's the third year of his residence in the city of Medina. There was a battle called the Battle of Uhud. The year prior to that, they had the Battle of Badr, where the Muslims fought against their oppressors, their enemies, the people who murdered many of them, tortured them, tried to even assassinate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh. And they had a battle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Muslims a miraculous victory. The following year, the Quraysh swore, you know what, we're going to be back, and we're going to avenge this loss. So they came back the following year, and they marched all the way up to the gates of Medina, what's called the Mountain of Uhud. It's right on the outskirts of Medina. They marched all the way up there to basically kill the Muslims. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after some consultation and some process with the Muslims, with the believers, he ultimately came to the conclusion that we're going to go outside of Medina and meet them in open battle at the place of Uhud, where the mountain of Uhud is. So they went out there and they got ready for battle. Now, the thing was that the Muslims, the way they strategically positioned themselves was that they put the mountain of Uhud to their back so that they could not be attacked from behind. Because they knew the enemy was going to outnumber them. They knew that the enemy was going to have a cavalry that the Muslims did not have, that they were going to be a lot more well-equipped and be a lot more resourceful. They knew that. But they said, we need to be strategic here. We need to be smart about how we go about all of this. So what they did was that they put the mountain of Uhud to their back. And now that they positioned themselves like this, they said, now when the enemy comes from in front, we can fight them. There was one little problem. There was one weak point that could be exposed behind them. That the mountain of Uhud had this kind of mountain pass. It had this pathway that came through the mountain. Because the mountain of Uhud literally means one. It's called that because it is like a small sequence of mountains. It's almost like a small mountain range. But it seems like it's just one long, continuous mountain, right? It's not like it's not separate mountains with a lot of valleys in between. It almost looks like one big mountain. So there's one place where there's this path that comes through that would have been behind them. And the Prophet ﷺ said that can be exposed. That could be a weak spot. And we got to be careful about that. So the Prophet ﷺ, he gathered together 50 Sahaba, 50 companions, archers, and he placed them on this little mound, this little hill, facing that mountain path behind the Muslims. So it's like the Muslim army's in the front. Then behind them, there's this little mound and hill with 50 archers standing on it, further behind the Muslims, watching over this pathway that comes through the mountains. And he said that your job is to stand here. Your job is to not move from here. Your job is to remain locked and loaded. And if anyone comes through there, you see any movement in that pathway, you let loose dozens and dozens of arrows, hundreds of arrows, 50 archers. You just go right at it, fire at will. But do not let anyone come through there. And then the Prophet ﷺ told them, this is your job. This is your responsibility. This is the only thing you have to focus on. You do nothing else. You do not move from here. And in some narrations, he said that you only move from here when I come and get you, or otherwise you die here. There's only two options. Either I come and get you, the Prophet ﷺ personally, or you die on this hill. You're not leaving here otherwise. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, do not come down into the battlefield. Do not help us. Do not assist us. Even if you see vultures picking away at our bodies, like we are dead in the battlefield, and you see vultures eating our bodies, you still do not come. You stay right here. Got it? Everyone said, got it. The battle begins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the Muslims initially a victory where the Muslims start to repel the enemy. The enemy outnumbers the Muslims 4-1. 4-1. There were 3,000 of the enemy and like 700 of the Muslims. So the odds are against the Muslims. But once again, just the strength, the conviction, the belief of the Muslims, and then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, the Muslims start repelling the enemy and they start winning the battle and pushing them back further back. And they start to, the enemy starts to turn and run, and they start to drop their stuff, their equipment, their supplies. And the Muslims start to pick it all up. And if you were watching from a distance, it really started to look like the Muslims had won. That's it. The battle's over. So now these 50 archers who were standing up on that hill, right, the kind of backup, watching the back of the Muslims, they see all of this. They start to kind of look at each other that, well, the battle looks like it's over. And they start to kind of glance at one another. And ultimately, after a while, they say, well, it looks like that the battle is over. Why are we still standing here on this hill? Right? Imagine if I told you I need you to volunteer and help organize the parking. And then you do all the parking and now the event starts and no more cars are coming in. You'd kind of look around at the other parking attendant, at the other volunteers, and you'd say, well, the event started. I don't think anybody else is coming now. I guess we can go inside. We have to manage the parking, and parking's done. So they kind of started looking at each other, and they said, I guess, well, we can go. Now, some of them said, no, don't go. We're not supposed to leave yet. The Prophet ﷺ told us explicitly, doesn't matter what you see happening in the battlefield, I come and get you, otherwise you do not go. You do not leave. And now a discussion breaks out amongst those archers on that hill. And ultimately, unfortunately, tragically, the majority of them, there were about 50 archers, most of them, at least 30, 40 of them, decide to leave. See, but the battle's over. He was emphasizing that never leave your post during battle. And now the battle's over. We can go now. So they leave the hill. Now, what was going on was that as the enemy army, as the Meccan army was approaching, Khalid bin Walid, who went on to be a great companion of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ dubbed him, gave him the name Saifullah, the sword of God. But at this particular time, he was not Muslim. He was on the side of the enemy. He came with the Meccans to fight. And he was a military genius. So he had a cavalry of 300 horses, which is a force. And he separated from the army before they even got close to Medina. And he said, I'm going to go try to find some weakness to expose here in the area. So he rode out from like half a day before. He rode out and went searching for some kind of like weakness that he could expose. And he came around Medina and around the mountain. And he saw that mountain pass. And he came into that mountain pass from behind the Muslims and kind of looked over, but then saw that there were 50 archers lined up, locked and loaded, ready to fire away. And so then he backed off and he said, no. We're 300 cavalry, but 50 archers can actually stop us. And they have a vantage point. They're up on a hill. They can actually stop us. So let's hang back here. Let's see. Let's wait this out. And they waited and waited and waited. And the battle started. And then the enemy, the Quraysh, his side started losing the battle. And, you know, his people are like, what are we doing? And he said, wait. And finally, when majority of the archers left their post, they left their hill. And he looked out there and he said, maybe there's 10 archers, which now we can actually push through. Because 10 archers will take out a few of us, but it can't stop us. And he said, charge. And they rode out from there, and they ran right through the remaining archers, and they came up behind the Muslim army that was chasing their enemy out of the battlefield, and with 300 cavalry, they hit them in the back. And that's like getting hit with a battering ram, with a tank. And it hit the Muslims hard. It's like getting the wind knocked out of you. And the Muslims started to scatter and disperse. There was some panic. What's going on? What just happened? And the enemy that was fleeing the battlefield, they started to turn around and be like, whoa, what's going on with these guys? Looks like they're starting to lose some of their positioning. And so the enemy turns around again, that already outnumbers the Muslims. And from behind, you got the cavalry. And then they crush the Muslims in between. And so many tragedies unfolded as a consequence of this. The uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who wasn't just an uncle, he was only a couple of years older than the Prophet ﷺ. They were nursed by the same woman. They were foster brothers. They grew up together. He was like a big brother to the Prophet ﷺ. He was one of the most beloved people to the Prophet ﷺ in his life. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu died. He was shaheed. He was martyred in the aftermath of all this. His body was mutilated by the enemy. The cousin of the Prophet, Abdullah bin Jahash, who was like a little brother, he was assassinated, he was killed and martyred. His body was mutilated. 70 companions of the Prophet fell as a consequence of this, including people like Mus'ab bin Umayr, who had been there from day one, serving the Prophet, serving the deen and the religion, serving the Quran, the message of Islam. Even the Prophet himself, in that just panic and chaos that ensued, he himself was severely injured, where he bled from his face profusely, so much so that he couldn't see, he couldn't breathe, until they were able to get the blood off of his face. He was severely injured. So much tragedy unfolded in the aftermath of this. And we're not in any position to assign any kind of blame to anyone. But for a moment, think about when things turned. Think about when did things turn for the worse? It was when the archers left their post. And while I'm saying that it's understandable, the thought process that they kind of had, well, we were told here, that's why I gave the parking attendant, you know, parking team analogy. Okay, my job is to just manage parking. Yeah, but if the event started and no one else is coming, there's no more parking to be done. Right? So they said, well, we were supposed to watch the back of the army during battle, but battle's over. Yes, while that's understandable, but the Prophet ﷺ had said, you do not leave here. You either die on this hill, or I come and get you. There's not a third option. It doesn't matter what you see going on out there. We could be crying for your help. You don't leave this post. And unfortunately, they did end up leaving the post. And terrible things happened afterwards. And as a consequence, you can imagine now, in the aftermath of all of this, how upset everyone would be and how upset the Prophet ﷺ would be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking to the Prophet ﷺ about the aftermath of this, some of your followers, some of your people, they did not follow the order exactly as you gave it. And you warned them that follow my instructions exactly, otherwise bad things can happen. And they did not follow your instructions exactly. And bad things did occur. Now what do we do? How do I react to you now? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the reaction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 159. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. That it is only and solely by the mercy of Allah that you had the ability to be gentle with them. لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. لِنْتَ. that comes from the word legin. Legin literally means for something to be soft. Silk is described as legin, that when you put a silk sheet over something, how it accommodates and it conforms to the shape of things. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you were accommodating to them. You were soft with them. You were gentle with them. And that is not a weakness. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. That is by the mercy of Allah. The mercy of God allowed you to be gentle and soft with them at such a difficult and critical moment. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّاً غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. And had you been harsh and mean, hard-hearted with them, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have dispersed and left you a long time ago. So, if you were mean and harsh and iron-fisted with them, Allah says they would have left you a long time ago. They would have stuck around for the good times. Everyone sticks around for the good times while you're winning. But then when the difficult time comes, when difficult times arrive, then they don't stick around so much. But it is your love and your compassion and your kindness and your gentleness that made them loyal. Didn't just make them work hard. Yeah, you can be tough on somebody and make them work hard. What makes somebody loyal? It is the kindness, the gentleness, the softness. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. So pardon them. Overlook the mistake that they made. It's okay. Let it go. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And pray for them. Make dua for them. Ask Allah to forgive them. Make dua for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And then, so the first part is you yourself, you got to let it go. Number two, you got to make dua to Allah for them. And number three, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Number three, you have to communicate to them that you haven't disowned them. You're not angry with them. You don't hate them. So consult them. Bring them into consultation. Say, hey, I'd like your opinion on something. You know when somebody comes to you and after you messed up, you did something wrong. Hey, I need your opinion on something. You look around like, who? Me? Yeah, you. I'd like your opinion on something. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you commit to do the right thing, then you got to put your faith and trust in Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who put their faith and trust in Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically talks about the gentleness, the softness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in dealing with his followers, in dealing with his companions, in dealing with the believers. There's another story that I wanted to share with you. And that other story is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us about the story of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam a very, very difficult responsibility. The difficult responsibility Allah gave Musa alayhi salam was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam to go and to preach the message, to go and to deliver the message of Allah, the message of God, to none other than the greatest tyrant on earth, Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. Fir'aun was this terrible, tyrannical, oppressive ruler and king who was oppressing. You know, not only was he oppressing, all the people, and he had basically declared himself to be Lord Almighty, to be God Almighty. أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. But then Bani Israel, who were the children, the progeny, the generations coming after the prophets, that he had oppressed them, he had enslaved them, subjected them to servitude, and he had turned them into slaves and subjected them terribly and miserably. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam to Fir'aun. It's a long story, I won't get into all the details right here. But he sent him to him and he said, go and tell him to believe in Allah. Stop claiming that he's God, first of all. Tell him to believe in Allah and release Bani Israel from the slavery and the oppression that he has them in. So now think about who Musa alayhi salam is going to talk to. He's going to go talk to this madman who calls himself God. Crazy, wild, out of control. And then this man who is such an oppressive tyrant that he kills the babies of this entire community of people. Bani Israel, who some mentioned that there were 70,000 of them or hundreds of thousands of them, that he killed, he massacred their babies, their infants, to control them. So this is a wretched, terrible monster. And Allah sending Moses to go in, talk to him. Now, how would you expect to go and address a monster like this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam in surah number 20, chapter 20, verse number 44, ayah number 44, telling Musa and Harun, Aaron, the brother of Moses, because when Musa alayhi salam was given this mission by Allah, he said, can my brother Aaron, can my brother Harun please come with me? Can he accompany me? I could use his support. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told both of them, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, that when the both of you address Pharaoh, do so gently. Speak to him gently. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, so that maybe he'll understand what you're saying and listen to you. أَوْ يَخْشَى, or he'll at least be a bit mindful and fearful and he might back off. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, speak to him gently. Speak to this monster, this crazy ruler. Speak to him gently. There's a interesting story that one time this individual, he was going on his way and there was this pious man in the community, and there was a king, in fact. The king was going by with his procession, and you know, he had his guards and his armory and everything with him, and he's a king. And he's going by, and there was this really kind of like old, you know, worshiper, pious man in that community. And he saw it, and he started, you know, saying that, you know, God is going to destroy you and humiliate you and this and this and that. And so the king, he stops the procession, and he says, yes, you know, uncle, Ambu, what's the issue? And he said, you know, you have all this fanciness and glitz and glamour and power and all of this, and God is going to ruin you. And he said, if you felt that I was maybe not doing something right, why would you not kindly and humbly advise me? Because you're not better than Moses and I'm not worse than Pharaoh. I understand you're a pious man, but you ain't no Moses. And I understand that I might seem like a problematic person to you, but I'm no Pharaoh. I don't kill babies. I don't tell people that I'm God. So, and when Allah sent Musa to Fir'aun, Moses to Pharaoh, he told him, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ لَيِّنَا. He said, speak to him gently. And here you condemned me to hell. So, yes, I appreciate your counsel, but let me offer you this counsel. That address people with gentleness and kindness. And there's a particular mentality here, because what's the goal and the objective? If the goal and the objective is to get the other person to take the advice, not to just put the other person down, if the goal and the objective is to get the other person to take the advice, then what's going to be more effective? Berating them? Humiliating them? Or being gentle and kind with them? What's going to make them more receptive to the advice that you're actually giving them? Think about that for a moment. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma ju'ila rifqu fi shay'in illa zanahu, wa ma nuzi'a min shay'in illa shanahu." Beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, anytime you add gentleness and kindness into something, you make it beautiful. And anytime you remove it from something, you ruin it. The Prophet ﷺ one time hosted a delegation of, you know, the Jewish community. And some of them came and started, you know, doing a play on words and trying to say bad things to the Prophet ﷺ. They said, Salam alaikum, which meant like, may curse be upon you, may death be upon you. And they started to kind of look at each other. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, she saw this, she spotted this, and called it out. And she said, Alaykum as-salam wa la'na. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said, Mahlan ya Aisha, easy, take it easy. And she said, did you not hear what they said? They were cursing you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know, and that's why I said, you know, wa alaykum. Same thing upon you. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقَ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. God loves mercy, compassion, kindness, gentleness, softness in everything. And I wanted to conclude, this is, of course, a very big topic, and we talked about it from the point of view of the Qur'an, the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and in general. I want to talk about something very specifically. During this very challenging and unique and difficult time that we're experiencing, a lot of folks are locked down, kind of bunkered in with their families. And a lot of people are experiencing a lot of difficulty in that regard. Yes, everybody loves their family, but nonetheless, due to the very close, you know, constant interaction with one another, and without the going outside and going to work and going to school and interacting with a whole lot of other people, how that kind of, you know, eases the tension sometimes that people can develop when they're interacting with one another constantly in very, very close proximity. That there is a lot of stress and there's a lot of frustration and there's a lot of, you know, kind of things that are building up between family members and within homes and within families. This is a time when we have to remember to be gentle and to be kind. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا. That whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bless a family and the inhabitants of a home, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts kindness and gentleness and love and softness amongst them. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to deprive a family, a household from goodness, then Allah removes that love and that mercy and that compassion from them, that kindness, that softness from them. So it's a profound source of goodness from Allah and blessing of Allah to be gentle and kind with one another. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good in our homes and our families, and He blesses our homes and our families so that we can be soft and gentle and merciful and compassionate with one another during these difficult times. And remember, if you're looking for, you know, many parents who have kids, and especially older kids, are going to find themselves very frustrated. You know, the kids are not, you know, keeping this schedule, and they're not being productive, and they're not doing their schoolwork, and they're not doing this and that, and we're going to get frustrated, and we're like, we're going to have to tighten the reins a little bit. And that's fine. You can discipline. But again, always doing it with an element of gentleness and mercy and compassion and kindness goes a long way. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah rewards efforts. Allah gives better results for efforts that are made through kindness and gentleness and mercy than He does, than the blessing that He puts and the results that He puts in efforts that are made through what the Prophet ﷺ calls unf. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعِينُ عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعِينُ عَلَى الْعُنْفِ, that God will help you achieve better results through kindness and gentleness than the results that you will get by being mean and harsh with people. So we pray and we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the character of the Quran, the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that during this very difficult time that we can continue to practice the kindness, the gentleness, the softness, the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Quran describes, particularly with our family members, with our the people of our household and our home. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu fikum. Thank you very much everyone for watching, listening, tuning in. Inshallah, as always, please go to supportqalam.com to support the efforts, the ongoing efforts that we're making here at Qalam. And today is, as we're here in these last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and tonight will be the 23rd night, we're really ramping up our efforts here at Qalam to make sure that everyone can have a very productive and beneficial Ramadan. We had this reminder right now about the character from the Quran, and as a Jumu'ah reminder, inshallah later tonight, we will be having our nightly Quran recitation and reflection. We're going to be going through the 23rd juz of the Quran. Once that's finished, then at midnight, that's going to be inshallah at 9:30 p.m. Central Time. Then at midnight Central Time, Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy and myself, we're going to be coming on here to share some thoughts and reflections about how to make dua and seeking from Allah, du'as of the Quran, du'as of the Prophets. And then, inshallah, tonight, we're starting a very, very special program. At 12:30 a.m., inshallah, we are going to, from 12:30 a.m. till 4 a.m., many of our students are going to be coming on here, and we're just going to be having recitation of the Quran all night long. And the goal is tonight, which I guess you could call Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Three nights, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th nights of Ramadan, we're going to complete the reading of the whole Quran in these three nights. Just reading through the Quran, inshallah, conducted by our students. So inshallah, please, you know, go to the Qalam website. You'll find all the Ramadan resources there. You can go to qalamlive.com. It's got all the resources listed there. But we're here for y'all. We're here to serve y'all. And Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu fikum. May you have a beautiful Jumu'ah and a beautiful day of Ramadan and a wonderful iftar and a wonderful time with your loved ones and your family members. And for those who are struggling, those who are alone, we pray and we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.